Himes and others that are involved in planning for a great weekend next weekend. And would you turn, please, back to Matthew 28? Looking forward to having the Romanos back. It's been a few years, and Scott has kept in touch. They've been doing things remotely, and I think they're starting to receive groups in there. And how many of you have been to Mission 2535? Two, three. All right, we're hoping to send some more, some wonderful things going on there. I'll talk about it briefly, but you'll hear a lot about it next weekend. Encourage you to come, bring some friends on Sunday, but then to other events. You know, I went to Congo years ago for a similar kind of a project. We were building the first Christian hospital on the site of a former communist youth camp. And that was really cool. But what I found was as I flying back and sitting next to a business person, it gave me a huge opportunity for sharing Christ, because it was like, well, why would you do that? And, you know, it's like when Jesus was here, well, why would he do that? It's because of the Father's love. And so this gives us great opportunity. People don't have to be Christians to go on these trips, I don't think. Am I right, Scott? Okay. And it's a great opportunity. They don't have to be Christians to share in your trip financially, or just supporting you, or to hear about your trip or someone else's trip or this mission that's going on. A lot of great opportunity. And same thing with everything that we do and everything that we are at Valley View Alliance Church and the church at large. Jesus is on a mission, and we have a great opportunity to be part of that. So, I encourage you to think about next weekend, and to pray it through, and let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we were without God, and we were without hope in this world. And you left heaven to come and share the Father's love with us, Lord, when we were hopeless. And you left the splendor of heaven, and you came and you lived among us. You lived in a stable. You lived with common folks that were probably a lot like us. And you shared the Father's love with them and with us. So Jesus, we're grateful what you've done in our hearts. Lord, we're grateful for the Holy Spirit who comes and illuminates your world, your word, so that we can see what your word says about sharing you with the nations. So Lord, would you speak to us this morning? And Lord, we pray in advance, won't you speak to us this week and next weekend, Lord, as we seek to be a growing part of what you're doing in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's all kinds of commissions. I imagine if we lived a little closer to Washington, D.C., a lot of us would probably work for commissions. So the Federal Trade Commission, the Atomic Energy Commission, the Civil Service Commission, the Election Commission, that's an interesting one we've been hearing about, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. Probably three-quarters of be working for those commissions, and some of them do well and some of them not so well, and most of them, like a lot of commissions, probably somewhere in between, and our lives are probably better because of all those commissions. And we have commissions. We don't often think of them I don't think many of them have acronyms, but we accept a commission when we are married to love each other till death do us part. We accept a commission when they hand us a baby in the delivery room or wherever I guess we happen to get it as guys, and we get closer to the delivery than we used to, that's for sure. Or when we go to school and our teacher says, okay, class, this is the way that it's going to be, And the students all nod their heads. And of course, teachers, they all cooperate. They fulfill their commissions. Or we join a sports team. Or we're part of a community. All kinds of commissions that we fulfill, usually a little bit more informally, or we don't. Or like a lot of the other commissions, sort of somewhere in between. But you know, our greatest commission, we actually, as Christians, is what we call the Great Commission, which has to do with presenting all of Jesus to all of the world. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Going back to one of our most basic passages of Scripture. So if you're not there, go back to Matthew chapter 28, please, if you would. And what we see there is that we are given all authority. So our King created a perfect kingdom. And he had things all set up for us, but we messed things up. And so he promised the redemption that would come because we had lost everything and we would die because of this. But then the King came and he prepared the way for his kingdom as he was born in a stable, and then he lived a perfect life, and then he gave his life for us. And along the way, he had announced a kingdom that was coming. And he appointed 12 to follow him. 12 that will remind us and reminded them of 12 tribes that had failed him, but 12 to be part of a new beginning, whom he would call to be like him, and whom he would call and show them how to love everyone. He was a benevolent king, you see, not a tyrant. And so he would love the little people, and he would sometimes confront the big people, and he would love those all in between, and he would call us and them to be like him. And then as he gave his life for us, he defeated his enemies by the cross, and then he inaugurated a new kingdom through his resurrection. And as he would ascend then to the throne of the universe, just before he left the planet, it's then in these verses that he proclaimed all authority, not some of it, but all authority. And he would give that authority to those who worshiped him until the end of the age. Now it says in these verses that not all who were there on that day of the ascension would agree. Some were doubting. Some weren't sure what was going on. They weren't ready to receive his lordship. But those who did, who were his worshipers, then were called to promote his kingship and exercise his authority everywhere. And Jesus said in chapter 16 that his kingdom would not fail. He would not fail to build his kingdom. He would not fail to build his church. In fact, he gave us what they call the keys of the kingdom. And so he said, what you lock up will be locked in heaven. What you unlock, what you loose, will be loosed in heaven. Those whom you proclaim me to, who receive me through your ministry, he said, will be welcomed in. The keys to the kingdom will unlock the door. They'll join you in that kingdom. Those who refuse the message that you give through me, he says, they will be locked out of the kingdom. And they'll have every opportunity through you and all of those who work with you and through my family, through the church, will be given the opportunity to be part of that kingdom. But if they reject me as the king of the world. Notice doesn't give any options here. He is the king of all, or he is not the king at all. He says you'll have that kind of authority by my spirit as you proclaim me and you proclaim my word to do things that are of eternal consequences. He takes us, he takes we who are broken people in a broken world. And he uses us to exercise his authority and to expand his kingdom around the world. When I was a child, my grandfather had an old barn where he used to have an old farm. It was actually a mink farm. That's another story. But there was a room in the back of the barn where the employees used to hang out. And out behind the little lunchroom, was a peach tree. And I asked about that. Well, how'd that peach tree get there? And they said, well, the story was that what they thought had happened was one of the employees, one of the guys who helped on the farm, had a bag lunch with a peach, and he ate the peach and he threw it out the window. And that's probably how that peach tree got there. And the kingdom of God is similar to that. You know, we look at our lives. We look at what we have to offer the Lord. We look at the church, which all over is a mess in a time of COVID. And we say, Lord, what can you do with this? He says, well, if you just throw your peach tree out the window, peach pit out the window, then I will make it to grow. And I will, because the Lord is the one in charge, and the Lord causes things to grow, even in rough times. I was listening to a Christian song this week, an old Keith Green song, and he said, I complain about these little sacrifices that I have to make, but he says, I'm reminded of those who gave their lives for this kingdom. And as we die with the Lord, we are raised with him. And the Lord uses us, not because of us, but because of his authority. Because he said that this kingdom will not fail and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, because he is the one who is in charge of all, then we invite all of the nations then to follow him. Some of you know I teach a class at Tocoa Falls College in Georgia. I'm about three quarters of the way through it. There's students, many of them from Georgia, but many of them from around the country and around the world. It's not a big class, but it's a very interesting class. So a couple of years ago, I had a couple of Lao, as in Laotian, Indochinese area students. And they one was from Georgia, probably on campus. I don't know. And another one was in Alaska. It was a single dad. And he was in the Air Force up there. And so we walk through the history of our family of churches. We talk about A.B. Simpson and how he was called to the nations and this and that. And then we eventually get into conversations about the kind of things that we're talking about this morning, like the Great Commission. And it's so interesting because these two brothers, one in Alaska, one in Georgia, at about the same time, they said, wow, this is about more than Lao people. They had been focusing just on their own family, maybe their own church, and their own perhaps family of churches, their own section of the family of God. They said, well, what the Great Commission means is that we reach out to everybody. And the whole class was nodding their head. Yes, that's what this is about. This is about sharing Christ with everyone. And so we proclaim Christ everywhere to as many as possible. We look in the book of Daniel, chapter 7. It says that all of the nations are surrounding Christ, who descends as the Son of Man. And all of them are worshiping him. And that's why we proclaim him. We proclaim Christ to Helam and to Wrightsville. We proclaim him to York. We proclaim him. We even go across the river to Lancaster. I know this, Lancaster County. We proclaim it on there. Okay, way down in Peckway, we proclaim him down there. And up to Harrisburg and into Maryland. Throughout this whole section of the country, we proclaim him even west of the Mississippi. We proclaim him north of the border in Canada. You can even get in there now and down in Mexico. We proclaim him all over the world because he has all authority. So we proclaim him to all of the nations. And this is our calling. The sad thing is that not everybody has access to Jesus. About half the world, about 4,000 people groups, have very little access to the gospel and to our King. And the word has gone out, but there's a whole section of the world, the northern part of Africa and southern part of Asia, where there's very little access. And so our mission, and other missions, but our mission especially, is redeploying and sending. We got 80% of our workers that are now in that section of the world. And our mission is to multiply. Multiply like a greenhouse. We got a lot of plants around here now because, I don't know, about 6 months ago or so, the people with the greenhouses got busy. And whether they are around here or whether they are in Texas or somewhere else, they started planting little seeds in those greenhouses. And then they watered those seeds. And then those seeds multiplied. And then they grew, the little plants grew. And then they distributed them all over the county and all over the country and all over the world. And that's what Christ does with us. That's what he does with the seed of the kingdom. Where he had that little seed and said, what is this? What is this that I have? He says, well, you got a treasure. You got a treasure in a box of clay. I want you to multiply that. I want you to water that plant. I want you to help it to grow. And then I want you to help it to multiply. And that's what Christ has called us to do, to multiply, to cultivate it, to invest in a kingdom that grows. And as it grows, it multiplies. As it multiplies, we multiply to call people to do everything that Jesus has commanded. You see that at the beginning of verse 20. So here's what the Creator King wanted to do. We're at the beginning of creation, and everything was created perfectly, and then things just spun out of control. The Apostle Paul tells us that what he is doing is he is bringing the universe back together. The universe one day will be under the very visible control of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this isn't some social club that we're in. We're not gathering people, forgive me, Paul, for a baseball team, as important as that might be. Okay? We're not gathering people for just some other religious group like one of many. No, we believe, as the church has believed for 2,000 years, that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so our calling is to be part of uniting what was pushed apart. And we express that in our love for one another. In the men's community group this morning, we were talking about how our manhood is different than the world's manhood in that the Lord calls us to love. We're called to love. We're called to sacrifice for one another. We don't just bash people around. No, we're called to love people, even people that are hard to love, even people maybe that we're afraid of. We're called to sacrifice so that others might know the love of God too, because we know because Jesus gave everything for us. And so what we do is when people put their faith in Jesus, we don't just say, okay, good. We check this off. Okay, someone knows Jesus. No. We don't stop there. That's like leaving a baby on a doorstep. That's criminal. And it's criminal to leave Jesus, people that come to Jesus alone. We are called to teach them to obey. You see, when we follow Jesus, the King changes us. He changes us. At the beginning of Mark, Jesus called them to repent. That means to turn around, to obey him, to love him. When we are baptized, Paul says in Romans 6 that it's a picture of death and resurrection, of dying with him and being raised with him. He says elsewhere that it's like changing our clothes, throwing out the old clothes and putting on the new ones, putting on our fancy duds. James says that the way that our faith it shows that it's true is through obedience. And so the target is becoming like our teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we seek to help people and to help one another to become like our teacher here at home and in our region and in our world. And the way that this happens is through serving communities and multiplying church networks and through developing people. And so, in a church like ours, we seek to serve our community, both within our community. We love on one another. You heard a bunch of prayer requests that are being answered this morning. We care for each other. We bring meals to each other. But then it goes beyond these four walls. It goes into our community at large. And it even goes beyond our community at large, even overseas. So next week you're going to hear about some wonderful things, amazing things happening in the Dominican Republic. So we are called to love others beyond our four walls and to serve others. And so you're going to hear about a fish farm. You're going to hear about some medical work, some houses that are built. You're going to hear about some food that's been planted and grown and harvested. All kinds of things to share the love of Christ with Dominicans. But then you're also going to hear something. You're going to hear that part of the way that Mission 2535, which comes from Matthew 2535, which is sharing a cup of cold water with someone in need, is that our mission there works with the local churches, which happen to be Alliance churches. So she, and seeking to help them to multiply what God is doing in the church so that when people in that area, they hear about all this going on, they say, oh, what are you doing that for? Oh, it's because you love Jesus. Oh, and you seem to love one another too. Oh, I'd like to be part of that. And so they get involved with the local churches and they begin to follow Christ. And we're seeking to do that all over the world. But then it becomes developing people. And so we help people to follow the Lord. Now we do that locally. Deuteronomy 6:4 is in the Old Testament, and you know, as God's people began to follow him under Moses, as they moved through the wilderness, Moses said, here's the way it's to be. He said, it's to be as you live life. So as you're sitting down, as you're walking along, as you're moving through town, he said, parents, he said, that's the best way to teach your children. Now you bring them to church, but a lot of it, he said, needs to be through you. And so we would encourage that, but then also, you know, we have a listeners club, where older grade schoolers can learn how to listen in church. We have a children's church that's going on for younger kids in the other room. We have older classes, we have over things for Surge, for youth group. And then we have community groups right now for adults. And we want to do more. You see, a child, even a child from a Christian home, they get 52 hours perhaps a year here on a Sunday morning. It'd be wonderful if we can multiply that, expand that, then they'd have 104 weeks a year. But let's say they're from a broken home. Let's say they're not from a church home. And so this morning I know that some of you have called kids and said, will you come, will you come? Well, maybe they come for half of the time. Okay, but they're with you and they're with us and we have opportunity to rub shoulders. We can do this. And many of us are here because other people did this with us or with our parents so that we could learn about Jesus as they rub shoulders with us or with our parents or with other people in our lives. It's following Jesus and it comes through relationships. It comes through everyday relationships. First of all, and we want to do more, not less. And this is because of the Great Commission. We have, especially overseas, but also in this country, we have schools that we promote. in ways, schools, colleges, and seminaries. There's many of them in this country, but overseas, to help develop people so that people that in the last generation or two don't even know Jesus can become the leaders in their churches and in our churches, and to continue to multiply the kingdom of God both here and around the world. We give a certain, we do that, we're part of that through our giving. We're part of that through our praying. We're part of that through our going and through our rubbing shoulders with people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord was to send one of these kids that filled us up last week, and we hope we'll be doing it again, was to send one or two or three or four or five of those kids overseas, where they could take the places of the Romanos someday when they're old and, you know, and can't do that stuff anymore. Or can take the place of others, can take the place of us here, can become leaders in our church or in other churches, both here or in other regions. You say, well, this is a big deal. It's a big commission. Feels like we got more to do than the Federal Trade Commission, and they got a lot to do, don't they? But the Lord says, I am always with you. You see, the Spirit of God is with us 24 hours a day, and He says that we are never alone. I was thinking about that song that we sang last week. You know, in the garden, Claire Muir said, you know, that started, that no, it didn't start with country western. We were having a little conversation about this, and still figuring this out. I Googled it. She's not a Googler, but I am. And I looked it up. It actually began with Billy Sunday, an old evangelist. That's where it first became popular in the church. And then my contention is then I think it's because of country western, but at any rate, there's a song about God always being with us. And one of the places that is wonderful to think about the Lord being with us was way back at the beginning of time. So the one place that the Bible talks about God being with them in the garden was after they had sinned. We wouldn't have known that. But it says that they were in the garden and they were hiding. And then get this, it says that they could hear God walking in the garden. I don't know what that meant, if that meant thunder or if it was Jesus, you know, just walk. But they were hiding because they didn't want him to see them because they had sinned. But the beauty of it is that he came and he knew already that they had sinned and he came anyway. And that's what he does with us. He comes with us even when we've sinned, even when we have royally messed things up. I mean, think of this. They had messed things up for the entire human race, and he still came, and he still loved on them. And that's the way that he deals with us. He knows that we're a mess. He loves us anyway. He gave his life for us. He walks through life with us, and he cares for us all of the time. He lives with us as we abide in him. He abides in us and he makes us fruitful and he multiplies us like plants at harvest time. And he does things that are beyond anything that we could dream of. But it's hard along the way. This morning I read a devotional. There's a couple of really good devotionals online on the CMAlliance.org website. There's one from A.W. Tozer, which is a great Christian writer, now with the Lord, that's a little easier to read. Then there's some old ones from A.B. Simpson, who was our founder, and some of them are a little hard to read, but I still like to read them. And I just want, it's just a couple of paragraphs I want to read. This was based on Psalm 91, which talks about the Lord covering us with his feathers. And verse 15, which says, I will be with him or her in time of trouble. So here's what he wrote. We often ask the question, why didn't God help me sooner? It is not his order. He must first adjust us to the situation and cause us to learn our lesson from it. His promise is, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. He first must be with us in the trouble until we grow quiet. I hate this. Then he will take us out of it. This will not come until we have stopped being restless and fretful about it and have become calm and trustful. Oh, Lord Jesus, please. And then he will say, it is enough. God uses trouble to teach his children precious lessons. They are intended to educate us. And when their good work is done, a glorious recompense will come to us through them. He does not regard them as difficulties, but as opportunities. They have come to give God a greater interest in us and to show how he can deliver us from them. Without difficulties, we cannot have a mercy worth praising God for. God is as deep and long and high as our little world of circumstances. He's always with us. And Jesus says in these verses, he says, he will be with us until the end of the age. That is, until he comes back, until his commission is committed, is finished. If we go back to Matthew 24, 14, he says, here's when the end of the age is. He says, when this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all nations, in all of the world, he said, that's when I will come. And so our commission is to complete our commission, not in our strength, but in his. He's with us in all of these times. And as we move ahead and as we invest all that we are and all that we have in committing and completing the commission, it's then that he will come back. It's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why we give our lives to him. That's why we give our lives to this great commission, this great calling that he has given to us to, that we fulfill wherever he has called us, every one of us to a unique place and time and circumstance, many of them to ones that we would not never have dreamed up or never have desired. But we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will follow you completely in that. So next weekend, we have a great opportunity to be part of that, to open our eyes to what God is doing beyond us. This is why we're here. So I want to encourage you, first of all, to come to something that you would not normally come to, or maybe you weren't planning on coming to. So maybe it's Friday night ice cream. Maybe we'll be out in the foyer there, and you'll be seeing some, I don't know what Rick does, slides or videos or something. Rick will do something, and Rick is a very good speaker, as is Tammy. Or maybe it's Saturday morning. It's at our house. Okay, ladies, I don't know what I'll be, I may be setting up your video, or I might have chopped something up. I don't know, but and then I'll run, because I know I don't fit that equation. Okay? Or maybe it's Saturday night over at Scott's house and ordering out to Touch of Italy, and that'll be good. And ladies, you can come incognito if you want, okay? He's going to be talking about mission trips. I'm guessing that others who've been on these trips will be there. We would love to start sending people again. Maybe some parent-child teams. Maybe somebody that's just never been. And you could take a week or so of your life, and you could say, "Hey, I could do that." And I'll tell you what, your peers at work will get behind you. They'll care for you. They'll say, "What are you doing?" You say, "Hey, what are you taking a vacation week to do that for?" And you'll have opportunity to share. It's because we love these people, and maybe you'd be able to say, "And it's because Jesus loves me." Okay, and then Sunday morning, Rick and Tammy will be here. We have a special missions focus for the kids. We're hoping we're going to have lots of kids here. You pray them in. They're children that Jesus loves. It's messy. It's messy when you reach people, especially people from non-Christian homes or from non-church homes. It's messy for all ages. And Rick and Tammy will share, and then we'll go out for lunch at Haas's or someplace like that where we can get us a little private area, we'll hear some more. If you want to talk with Rick and Tammy, if you want to talk with Paul and Terry, talk with us. This is about relationships. We want to connect people. It's such great opportunity to be part of what God is doing in the Dominican Republic and around the world. If you look at our government commissions, you know, it's so easy for all those of us who don't work for the government to sit back and say, oh, it's the government. Oh, you know, they never get anything done, or, you know, they're too much red tape, or you name it. It's easy to sit back, but, you know, they got a tough job. They got a tough job. And when they finish their jobs, I hope that they get to the end of the day, the end of their career, and they say, okay, I did some good stuff. But it'll never be done. It'll never be completed. But we're part of a kingdom whose commission cannot fail. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords said he's in charge, and we have the joy of being part of it. It cannot fail. It will not fail. All of Jesus for all of the world. I encourage you to be involved this next week and beyond by praying, by giving. Ask the Lord what he wants you to give. Maybe you give a little bit more, maybe a lot more than you have to this point. By being involved with what's going on, by listening to what God is saying, by going, saying, Jesus, okay, I want to encourage you to pray this way. We began by saying, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Say, Lord, what's one step that you want me to take because it's a result of next weekend that I wouldn't have taken unless I was listening to your voice? Ask him to show you one step. It's going to be different for everybody. One step you can do that will further the kingdom, that will cultivate this greenhouse of plants that Jesus is growing, and give you and I and me the joy of being part of it. Make that your prayer. Sue, why don't you come and lead? But let's pray together just now. Lord Jesus, forgive us for living like this is all about us. Forgive us, Lord, for our selfish lives. Forgive us, Lord, for our selfish church. Forgive us for our selfish ministry. Forgive us for our selfish homes, our selfish neighborhoods, our selfish anything and everything, Lord, where we focus on us, Lord, when you're the King. Lord, as you gave your life for us, Lord, may we give our lives for others. May we love them, Lord, as you have loved us. And Lord, we do pray for this next weekend. Lord, it's been hard to be cooped up this last year or two, but Lord, compared to being cooped up forever, Lord, oh Jesus, would you take our lives, our old Peach Pit lives, and Lord, would you now, Lord, multiply them and multiply our church's life for the kingdom of God, that Jesus might be seen more fully in all we are and all we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand?
Our closing hymn today is Stand Up, Stand Up for Jesus.